Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show interview series. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, this is Ezo Grizzo. And another honor on the phone, we have Cool DJ Red Alert. What's up, sir?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Doing all right. No doubt.
It's a great day.
Okay, I hear that. I hear that all the way.
That's what's up. So anyway, I guess the first thing that I always wanted to ask you, if you know, if you get a chance to talk to or meet Red Alert, is just simply at the beginning, your first, or your story around your first turntables, your first set that you ever had, turntables, mixers, etc.
The first set of turntables I have ever started using was Technique 1800s.
Wow.
I got it was 1800s, and the first mixer I used was called Clubman 1-1.
Okay, we're going to have to look this up.
Yeah. Clubman 1-1.
It's a Clubman 1-1. Yeah, you can Google that. You probably may find it come up.
Like, Google got everything on there. It's crazy.
I know. But that's the first set of turntable mixer I had. Started DJing on.
Oh, okay. So off the break, was you buying doubles? I mean, was it just automatically that you was just buying doubles, or you just was important just to collect the music at the time, whatever?
Well, you know, I can go as far back as when I was first just collecting my brother's records, because he was a record collector in the family. And, you know, before I even got into DJing, I was so much amazed by what he was bringing in. And in my household, you know, we was very open-minded to all different genders. So it wasn't just within R&B, it was soul, it was some rock, it was some Latin, it was also as well as Caribbean sound, because that's my background, where we have soca, calypso, and merengue.
Oh, wow. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. So here it is that I was you know, always at my brother's record collection, you know, and just listening to everything, you know, soundtrack of movies and everything. So when I started DJing, you know, he allowed me to take, you know, a good portion of records. And I mean, that was during the time of the disco era that I started buying like 12 inches single. But if it was something that was known to mix back and forth, that's when I start buying doubles. So I didn't start buying doubles yet. I was buying singles.
Oh, okay.
And then afterwards, when you start, you know, mixing two records, that's when I start buying doubles.
Oh, okay. That's what's good.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, as far as DJing, your philosophy is DJing as far as is more important, because I heard two schools of thought. Obviously, you have to have skill, but is the skill in the music selection? So, in other words, is it more important to know how to mix, scratch, cut, or whatever, or do you really have to know the DJ knowledge, what to play, when to play it?
It's a little bit of both, because from what I learned, you have to make sure that you're picking the right selected sounds that segue from one to another and learn how to mix and blend. This is before cutting and scratching came in. I always have learned that you have to learn to mix and blend, you know, accommodate from one record to another. You know, make sure that you're making the right choice of records, because, you know, you make the wrong choice, you know, you're airing yourself out and nobody paying attention. And you're just going even from a, you know, a person even who listen to you or dance to you, you know, and you want to make sure that you picking the right sounds that, you know, join one behind another. And I know I'm taking it as far back, but, you know, I know that the cutting and scratching came later on, but it was more about mixing and blending in the beginning.
Okay. That's what's good.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. And your long tenure as a DJ, because your perspective and people from the early era perspective always is amazing to me. As far as clubs or systems go, the loudest or at least the best sounding you think you've ever been in or played in?
The best sound that I ever have been in, it was a club that was lower Manhattan called The Garage.
Okay.
That was very well known. You know, that was more like a dance club, and it was a trendy spot, you know, and you had people such as late great Larry Levan and a couple others played in there. But the best sound system I think I played on in the beginning stages had to be the Roxy.
Okay, yes.
Because if the person who had placed the sound system in the garage, from what I learned, also placed the sound system in the Roxy, you know. And
yeah, gentlemen, a gentleman by the name of Richard Long Systems.
That's right, the Richard Long system. You know, he made sure that whatever he placed in there is nice and clean. You know, and you not only that you hear it, but you felt it. You know,
right.
you felt that bass. You hear clear them horns. You know, everything coming precise.
Okay.
So that's what I say the best club that I had played in the beginning stages.
Okay, so Red, who did somebody give you a cosign when you started? I mean, was it sort of like today where you got the introduction, a cosign from somebody big, or did your name bubble on its own?
What can I say? Because the way I looked at it, I used to combine going downtown and watching all the DJs before me in the disco clubs, and then that was like on an after work Thursday or Friday, and then come uptown on a Saturday and check out the sounds of Cool Herc and learn to be open-minded to two different styles there. Afterwards, you know, when I went away to school and I took up communication engineering, I came back to start the DJ. People was listening to, you know, at that time I was recording my music, you know, the cassettes. And I used to always walk up and down around the neighborhood with my boombox, you know. So people would hear me. And I started doing, like, you know, little dance parties here and there. And I was in this program called the Upward Bound Program. Upward Bound Program, where you put preparation, you know, while you're in high school, get ready to go to college. And I used to live on the campus of Fordham University. So me and my friend Reed had combined our system. And, you know, what's so funny, I'm about to say this. We combined our stereo system, but we hooked up the two turntables to one port where you had phono on one and auxiliary on the other. Now, this is before even mixing. What we did when we did parties, when one record died out, we click on to the other part, and here's on the other record.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's the way he was doing parties. So that's what I could say was my way of learning, picking the right records one behind another, because one record is going off, you want to make sure the next record is just as good as the last record went off. You know, you don't pick that right sound, you know, you may clear the dance floor, you know, you may clear everybody out your room. So, you know, that's what I start learning. But that's what it was for me to learn such and such from each one. And then when I got to start DJing, everybody, some people knew I was DJing on the campus, and people was hearing my tapes when I was walking up and down. So here it is. That's when I start getting a little reputation.
Okay. Wow, that's what's up.
To just sit here and listen mm-hmm. to this knowledge. You're gonna love it.
Well, I have a question for you as far as concerning DJing. Like, what is your, I mean, because, you know, you're a DJ, and you've been doing it, and what is your favorite aspect of DJing? Is it the reaction to the music you're playing? Is it experiencing something new first and being able to share? What is your favorite aspect of DJing?
Well, one thing I always had learned, you have to learn to have a unique ear to go after what you believe in and what you feel for. You know, sometimes you may try a record that others may not try, and you have that gut feeling that it can accommodate with the records that are already known. So you learn how to, you know, work that record and records together. You know, some may work, some may not work, but you don't know unless you try. You know, as well as, it's how can I say it? The passion I have for it, that if I go into my zone just playing, I know you're supposed to play for the crowd, but the first thing is to learn to let the crowd build up on you, believe in you. So if the crowd believe in you, everything will flow on, you know. I know that within today's time, from what I learned, the audience want to dictate the DJ what they want to hear. But I always learned that the DJ is supposed to lead the audience. for what they play.
Nah, no. Have mercy.
Yeah, somebody need to teach somebody something else, because this is crazy.
I always heard the DJ got to be like the Pied Piper. You play the right tunes, you lead them.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but,
that's where I get in my zone with that, is my passion, and learn to, you know, play and introduce and educate all in one.
Okay. So now let me ask another question. How do we determine, like in the past, we could tell a good DJ by his ability to either, you know, blend the music right, or being able to cut and scratch and all that kind of stuff, or even having the butters before anybody else. So nowadays, with the radio playing the same music over and over, and DJs playing the same music over and over in the clubs, what determines a good DJ now?
Everything is so bland now. I know, I understand what you mean, where in the beginning stage, it was all about the cutting edge. Who stand out of what they play and how they play. You know, that was a combination where I can say, for example, in the beginning of the hip-hop stage, you will always respect Flash because the way how he cut so precise. And, you know, cut cleans and everything such and such. And then you have Van Botter, that was known for being a master of records, that would introduce something that you never heard before. And then you may have other people that learn how to have a combination of both. You know, so everybody had a distinctive style or way how they came across, as opposed to what it is today, that is more likely so bland. And, you know, it's sad from how we're hearing things on the radio today, but that's corporations that have took control of what's going on.
No doubt.
Telecommunications.
We jump all into that whole thing, but, you know, since you brought up about radio, I just wanted to bring that up.
No doubt.
That's what's good. Yo, I'd be remiss if we didn't just
hello?
Go ahead. Yo, can you hear me?
I think we might have lost him.
We might have lost him.
Stop it and call him back. Let me call him right back.
Hello? Okay. I don't know y'all got to hear me answer the last question, because after I finished talking, that's when I heard dead air.
We're about to back it up a little bit so we can see where we start off, right, Kurt?
No. Just go in.
So go ahead and answer the last question, because we didn't get it.
I'm trying to remember what that last question was.
It was about, first of all, we passed the it was still on the blandness of what's going on.
Yeah, and you said the corporations.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about the corporations and radio, how they took over that whole thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was saying, you know, here it is that corporations have took over radio communication nowadays, you know, because anytime you have companies or corporations, you know, as a conglomerate, such as like a Clear Channel, MS, and many others that own more than one radio station in St. Market, they narrow everything down, make it sound so bland across the board on the airwaves. So that's why you keep on hearing the same old, and they restrict a lot of the mixes to, you know, introducing great records.
That's why they handcuff the DJs the way they do on the radio.
Yeah. Right, but, so, you know, I know a lot of people may want to blame the DJs, but, you know, they have to conform, you know, to what is it that programmer asked them to do, because, you know, that's their house, that's their business, and, you know, if you want to be on the radio, that's the rules you got to do.
That's your job.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that you would think that the audience would want to hear more than six songs?
Well, put it this way, I'm going to tell you this. That's why we live in a bland area today as a viral world. Whatever is projected to you is what the only thing you want to follow. If they hear something over and over that becomes so popular, they're not being open-minded to listen to anything else unless you have somebody aggressive that's willing to take the next step. You know, we live in an era where everybody is so played a similar role instead of learning to go the edgy road. Similar road is everybody will follow suit to the same old thing as the edgy road, where somebody is willing to try something different than the norm.
No doubt.
No doubt.
So, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to take it away from what, you know, the subject matter we're talking about, but based upon communication itself, they only will program what they feel is popular and run it to the hole.
Indeed.
That's why it's called programming.
Right.
Right. So, I got to, talking about programming, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the dial wars and the situation between you and Mr. Magic. I don't know if it was anything personal in there. I know you guys went at each other. Can you give us that perspective from your perspective on your end of the dial?
Well, let me put it to you. First and foremost, rest in peace to Super Rock and Mr. Magic.
Indeed,
because that
yes.
man opened the doors for each and every one of us to be doing what we're doing as far as this. Presenting the sounds of hip hop to this day.
Yes.
You know, he opened the doors for all of us when he was on WHBI 105.9. When he came to BLS in 82, you know, he's the man in tri-state area, Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. So now, when the first person they went after over in 98.7 Kiss FM was my cousin, the original DJ Jazzy J. When he went on for a couple months, Mr. Magic heard about, you know, here comes this guy coming on the dial, going to do similar to what they do, but it's not exactly, but it's similar. He said, well, who's this guy down the dial that's supposed to be, you know, doing what we do, playing hip-hop? Who's this guy? Jazzy Whack, Jazzy Jerk, you know, and they start. So then after when Jazzy let it go, and then they passed it to me, and that's when he started talking about me. Now, of course, you know, I had to the street, you know, sense where like, yo, who this nigga think he is talking shit about me, you know? You know, you call, you know, you got the street mentality, you know? That, you know, I ain't gonna let nobody diss me on the radio. So I'll never forget when I came in to the program director at the time, Barry Mayer, I came step in and said, yo, man, this guy Magic is dissing me. So Magic looked at me and started laughing. I mean Barry started looking at me and started laughing. Now I'm getting mad that he's laughing. Yo, man, I mean, I'm telling you what this guy's doing. You never, he said, no, sit down. He said, you have a right to be mad because I just laughed. Let me explain something to you. What that man is doing is advertising. I said, well, why you say that? Here it is that people may know about you that you started on radio, but the people that don't know about you and he's busy talking about you, he encouraging them to go over there to listen and see who you are. So let him keep on dissing you because he's advertising you. I stepped out of there. Of course, I still got that mentality like, yo, this nigga's crazy. But I had to take time and think about it. And little by little, I start taking into what he was saying. And then, you know, I'm walking the streets. Yo, man, Magic is dissing you. Yeah. So I had to learn to swallow and have that pride of where everybody's telling what Magic is doing. But meanwhile, I just keep moving on, you know, and just let it build up.
Wow, that's an interesting concept because I say a lot of times that, and I don't mean to be racial or nothing, but it is what it is. We as black folks sometimes don't work together. Because you don't like each other, you can't work together and get money. But yet, those other folks, they can really despise each other, but work together to get money. It ain't got to be dissing. Just get the money.
Right. Well, you know, put it this way. First and foremost, yeah, you all get the money. But, you know, my first thing was my love and my passion for why I got in there.
Right.
I didn't know. I mean, deep down inside, I'm going to be honest with you. I keep it 150 with you. When I got in there, the last thing I would thought about was the money. It was just that I was just happy to be on there to let people, allow people to hear me all throughout the tri-state area. And when I got to learn later on that they was recording me and traveling my tapes all around the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, the money came later on. I mean, the money came, but I wasn't thinking about the money. I was thinking about I'm happy of what I'm doing. And everybody's enjoying it.
That's awesome.
That's great.
That is awesome.
I love that.
And then, you know, what it was, yeah, I was getting hired to do gigs. I was getting hired to travel around the world and do all sorts of, and yes, I was receiving. But I'm still enjoying. So last thing in my mind was the money. You know, I had somebody that was with me all the time making sure I got paid. Well, I'm busy having a passion and doing what I'm doing.
Isn't that interesting how different that is now, though?
Of course, because we live at the most of gambling, and that's similar mindset today.
Wow.
That similar mindset. It's all about the money. You got to get this money. I got to get everybody thinking the same way.
Right.
You know, when a person got into the pro ball, football, baseball, basketball, wrestling, hockey, boxing, did they go in there for the money? No, they get in there because they love the game.
No doubt.
The money came, but, you know, when you let that almighty dollar dangle in your face, you forget what got you there.
All the time.
No yep. doubt.
Every time.
No doubt. Red, you know? I got to ask you about one of the favorite things, again, not being raised in New York, but hearing this on tapes, is your promo songs that actually turned into songs. All the people that recorded promos for you and how many of them turned into songs. You got a couple of your favorites you can talk about?
Oh, well, I got quite a few. I mean, here it is. And, you know, let's rewind back to talking about the Magic. There was promos where people made promos for me dissing Magic.
No doubt.
Instead of me talking about him, I was playing songs that diss him, you know? Of course, I would judge them to see if they sound good enough to play, but that was promos, you know? And then later on, here come my man D-Nice. D-Nice did a TR-808 that turned out to be a record. Fat Joe promo turned out to be a record. Flo Joe. I remember who else. It did not turn out to be a record, but it was a routine that came on Bismarck's album that he did some. A 1-2. I remember he did that for me as a promo. And, you know, that became on one of his albums. And, of course, the song that everybody knew that is called The Promo, which was in the beginning for radio, turned out to be a song by the Jungle Brothers.
Yes.
Yes.
It's one of my favorites. I love that.
Yeah, and then here it is. The remix of that is In Time, featuring Q-Tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. You know?
So, you know, it was funny because during the time when I was playing these promos, they was being requested like they was regular songs during the course of the week.
Yeah, that's what I found absolutely amazing. So guys who could just record, and the power of your program, you know, whether it was you or the program is irrelevant, but the joints that were just the spotlight you or even this, the people down the dial just turning into full-fledged records. It's pretty amazing, you know. No doubt.
Yeah.
Right, because you got to remember one thing. Now, before it was all taking place today, during the golden era of the 80s, they had took trust in us where we learned to stay in the guideline for what we do and to introduce at the same time to keep it entertaining. So here it is. My position is being the programmer, the music director, as well as the jock and personality itself. What is it I'm selecting to play, how to program it, and how to come across to entertain all in one. And, you know, when they saw how well we was doing it, and of course, you know, as far as, you know, the companies looking at our ratings is doing well, you know, and the ratings is doing so well that they can go upstairs to the sales department and the sales department go ahead and show the people who want to advertise, well, you want to advertise on this man's show? Look how many how high his ratings are, what his audience is, you know, and that would draw revenue, which is business. Meanwhile, as they're doing that, I'm busy enjoying doing what I'm doing.
No doubt. You a DJ's DJ.
Yes,
you are. You still enjoy spinning what you spin as far as, I know I used to listen to you when you was on Sirius for a little while, you know what I'm saying? I always...
Backspin doing the Classic Collection?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, it's funny you say that because I just started posting some of my mixes of Classic Collection because some people was asking about it. And, of course, you know, a lot of people have forgot about it. So I said, let me reintroduce it. Because it was a two-hour show, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So, like, you know, every week or every other week, I may post an hour of one of the mixes on there as a reminder.
Oh, okay. That's on you got the SoundCloud or website or people can find that?
I want to find
those. You heard of MixCrate.com, right?
Oh,
yes.
mixcrate.com and have, you know, some of my mixes on there, as well as what I just started with the classic collection.
Okay.
Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, like I said, you know, you just becoming your own man, your own boss of conducting, being a maestro and conducting and directing all in one.
All right, well, let me bring you up to speed a little bit on the new technology. Can I get your take on the new technology as far as a lot of push button or what they call push button DJs? You know, I'm personally, you know, I'm sitting in a room full of records. I still love the vinyl, no question. But what's your take on the new technology?
Well, first and foremost, you have to learn to adapt to change. Change is always going to come around. You adapt to change, you will be a fossil, you will be left back, and you will become extinct. That's why we are on cell phones today.
True.
So let's go forth with this. Yes, I am playing on Serato. I love playing on Serato. I do love my vinyl, but I can't lug them records around no more. I'm like that girl. I'm like that girl, Kaya. My neck, my back. You know, I can't carry and lug that shit around no more. I'm up in age, you know. And not only that, but later on in years, where you see it's hell when you're traveling and, you know, you're trying to carry them on a plane and they want to charge you for the weight. Now, how much extra luggage you got? Everything is all placed right there. The good part about it with the Serato that you can still use the vinyl.
That's real, yes. And that's, yeah, and right. I think most of us are like that. That's yes, me too. I have Serato too. Yeah. I'm not dissing it because, you know, you're right. I ain't carrying no crates.
Right. No, I mean, now when I used to have a show, I don't know if y'all have ever seen it. I used to do a show on Ustream called Global DJ, cool DJ, Global Radio. I used to do it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I do it at home in my studio. And when at the time I was doing it, you see me playing vinyl because all the records is right there in the house.
Yeah, no doubt.
But when it's time to travel, I got that laptop right there. And you can still perfect your skills, even if you want vinyl, if you want CDs, and what is it now, the controller. You learn to take control of that machine instead of that machine to take control of you.
Yes, yes.
That's what I mean by it. So we got to learn to adapt to what the machine is, but you still can use your ability and your skills to it.
And that's probably where my problem comes in, because a lot of cats, they're not even adapting to the machine. They just let the machine do all the work, and they're doing nothing.
Right.
Well, you know, the sad part that we live in, and our people want the shortcut and don't want to learn the fundamentals, you know? A lot of cats that's in the NBA today, you know, they want to go up and down the court like they in an N1 tournament instead of learning the fundamentals of the plays, you know? I mean, we living in a different era. Everybody wants shortcut. They want it now. They don't want to take time to learn how to build. They want it now.
Yeah. You
know? Right. Damn.
You know, the microwave stage.
No doubt.
Yeah, we said that many times.
Right.
Microwave generation.
Indeed.
Yeah, microwave generation. So, you know, I adapt to the technology, what's going on today, but just know you learn to control it, that's what matters.
That's what's up. So, Red, I got to ask you, on the digest, what we do, you know how everybody wants to know the DJ's top 10 or whatever. We don't want 10 names. We want 3 names. Your 3 DJs that you they can influence you. It isn't even about history. Just your favorite 3 DJs.
That influence me to start off?
Any
well,
3.
But mainly 2, which is Kool Herc and Africa Bambaataa. I can definitely say that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The third one, by Ray B. Flash. I have to say Flash. I was going to a lot of his parts. But then, nah, you know, I got to skip over Flash. I would say more of disco DJs that was downtown, like DJ Jones.
Indeed.
Why? Because remember what I just said earlier. I used to go downtown to the discos and listen to what they play, and come uptown later on and listen to the sounds of Kool Herc.
Okay, no doubt.
So I learned them 2 first, Pete DJ Jones and Kool Herc. But And then I was going to all flash parties, but when I got to BAM, BAM opened my mind to learn how to introduce more variety of sound. So those are three that I'll say that influenced me.
Oh, okay. So as far as now, I'm just assuming, I don't know. So you heard like guys like Flowers or any of the sound system DJs?
I heard Grandmaster Flowers, I heard Charisma, I heard Plumber, I heard the Together Brothers. I heard the very first female DJ I ever experienced seeing was Becky DJ Jones. That used to be Repeat DJ Jones. And those are disco DJs, you know, as well as, you know, who's also playing downtown during the earlier stages, like the Disco Twins and a couple others. And then uptown, you know, was Herc. And after Herc, here come a whole slew of others right after Herc. Here come Flash. Here come the L Brothers. Here come AJ. Here come Breakout. Here come a guy that never gets his just due named Smokey. It was quite, and then I was up in the Bronx. Not even mentioning Harlem. In Harlem, you had my man Kev Ski. You had my man, rest in peace, Master Don. You had this guy named Paluku, who used to be with the Magnificent Seven. I mean, you know, there's a whole army of people between Harlem and the Bronx that I've seen.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. No doubt. So give me your top three or your favorite three MCs.
Now, that's a tough one.
Now, just three, though. You know what I mean? Your personal three. You know, we're not looking for you to qualify history. Just your personal three. Popular. Yeah.
Well, once again, that's hard to say. You know, you're talking about a person that damn near 40 years of DJing and came across a variety of so many different MCs. It's
that's real, right? That's real. I can understand that, man. That would be very hard, you know.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking from all different eras that I love and appreciate and enjoy, but it's hard to narrow it down.
Wow, that's real.
It's hard to narrow that down. You know, and y'all said in the beginning stages who influenced me as a DJ, of course, the only ones, you know, of course, there's other DJs that, you know, I enjoy over the years too, but those three, you asked me in the beginning, now you're talking about the three MCs that I really enjoy, that's hard. I'm keeping it 152.
I can imagine because the countless amount of MCs that you were around, that you had been in the studio with, that you recorded with, that you toured with, is incredible. So I can dig it.
So many that even if they not known, but in other different countries or different places, that you know, but it's hard to say now. Down.
Okay, wow, that's what's up. Mm-hmm. So do you have a favorite record or of all time? Let's say top three records, recordings. They could be, you know, old school disco or something present day.
Well, one record that I still love to this day, and I call it the hip-hop national anthem, is Apache by the Incredible Boggle.
Yes.
Wow, there you go.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. That's always going to be my favorite of all time.
All right. Apache, indeed. No doubt.
Well, I got a question for you. And maybe you thought about it already, or maybe you haven't. But what do you think your legacy looks like 50 years from now?
I'm proud to say that I think I will be remembered and respected according to how I have learned to be relevant from generation to generation, from my peers to the young ones, to how they look at me and how I take to them and gear and guide them. And, you know, it's funny because there's a place that I play at on Tuesdays over in Spanish Harlem. It's called Ricardo Steakhouse. And this guy was having dinner with his mother. So he was having dinner with his mother, and then, you know, it was a Tuesday, so he came to me, he said, "Yo, you go play any Tupac because it's his birthday?" I said, "Well, my man, I know it's his birthday, but this place where we don't play that, you know, we play classic soul and R&B in this place." So he must have been in this, you know, about maybe 19, 20, 21 the latest. When he got to find out who I was later on, he like, "Oh my God, I didn't know that was you. I'm sorry, I apologize." I said, "No, why, my man?" And then he just started running down my history like he knew it.
Wow.
So you know, a portion of an audience in his age bracket that acknowledged me, you know, and then not only that, but through, you know, my sons, you know, and also people that see me at the job, you know, at the radio station, that, you know, is aware of me. And once again, we in a viral world where people may hear about your name, they're going to look you up, you know. So
right.
I think I leave a decent legacy behind all that.
More than
what's up. You got one already, yes. Sir.
Yeah, I was going to say, no doubt. One of the pillars of hip hop, as far as I'm concerned. So, Kirk G, you got something?
I only got one question for you, really. It's about like the early days when you first mm-hmm. came into DJing, and like you said, you came in because you love this.
Yes.
And that's one thing I feel about you, is how you love this. And now I feel like the passion is completely gone from DJing, and I don't understand it. So what do you feel about
that? It depends on the individuals. It depends on the individuals, you know. You put it this way. If you're a musician that have been playing for countless years from time to time, and you still have the joy and love of doing it, even though you gotta make a living and you got a family. But it's just when you get up there and do what you love. How often do you find something that you love to do and you can make something out of it? So it depends on the individuals. Yes, you will get sidetracked. Once again, that almighty dollar can dangle in your face, or it don't have to be the dollar. Sometimes the position, the power that leads you to become who you are later on. But if you lose track of what helped you get there, that's on you.
Yeah, that's how I feel like a lot of cats don't have no passion for it. They just doing it for the money. That's it.
Yeah, well, no, that's the mindset today, you know. What's that record by Troy Ave? It's all about the money, y'all. You know, Wu-Tang Clan, dollar bill, y'all.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, this is what's going on. Everybody's thinking that. But I'm blessed that I can say, for what I've been loving doing, help took care of my family, help put my kids through college, help make me have a lovely home, help everything. You know, so it came along with it. But I still love what I do.
Yeah, that's no doubt. That's so 100, man, yes. And so refreshing. You don't really hear a lot of that, you know. And I know it's a lot of young guys with testosterone, but you know, to be thankful and grateful, you know, for what hip hop has done for you is awesome.
You know, here we just lost a great man, Mr. B.B. King, 79 years old. That man was still performing.
He loved it.
And from what I learned from a lot of people that was in his circle, they say he kept on doing it because he loved doing it. He could have retired. He could have been stopped. He could have gone ahead and just laid back and lived life. But that's what kept him going, because his love and his passion for it. So that's what, you know, if you got that drive like that, why not?
Yeah, right.
Indeed. No doubt.
You know? You know, I know there are some people that, you know, if they're not musicians or they something else, and they feel that for years and years are still doing the same thing and loving it. And some people, they're looking at them like, yo, man, when you gonna quit? No, they don't want to quit. I remember I heard people say to me, which I guess they have come up with, you know, sometimes people come with some stupid questions. And there's some people that came to me, yo, when you gonna retire? I say, there's a reason.
Right.
No doubt. I mean, I will admit, I have that same thing. On my off days, I will sit down here and I will spin just because I just love to do it. You know what I mean? I get paid. I just like doing it.
Here it is. I remember this was back in like maybe late 80s, early 90s. I was up in the Bronx one night and I seen this gentleman. He had to be in his 70s DJing. In his 70s. He was DJing. And it was a mixed crowd of young and older people in there partying and enjoying. And I was hearing the music he was playing. And he had good selections. He had good selections.
I strive for that right now.
hey, at the end of this year, I will be 59 years old. And I still love what I do.
There you go. That's 100.
If you love what you do, you ain't working then.
That is 100.
You know?
Well, I got
people that go to work and frustrated because they don't like their job. I love my job.
Right.
Go, man. We don't envy you. We're just happy for you and hope that it can come our way.
Yes.
Okay, I hear that.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. So this is a different kind of question. If there was, because you've been in hip hop forever. So if there's one thing that you could say hip hop could and should do without, what would that be?
The bullshit.
Man. That's just straightforward. Like I love it. The bullshit. You can make
but let's face it. Naturally, anything you get involved with, anything, industrial, politics, entertainment, sports, anything you get involved with, there's always some bullshit.
Mm. Yes, there is. I can agree with that 100.
So either you're going to learn to overcome the bullshit or get run by the bullshit.
Yeah. It sounds so simple, but we know it ain't.
If we could get rid of it, though, we definitely need
many
to.
Many a head gets caught up.
Yeah. But there's other things that, you know, we, like I say, look how society and corporation and society is running the game today, where programming people minds thinking this is what hip hop is now, not knowing the raw core of what it was in the beginning. You know, the corporations, what I call the machine, took a hold of it, watered it down, repackaged it, and presented for people to believe that's what it is.
And that's that bullshit.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That bullshit.
Exactly. So that's all what's going on.
That's what's up, sir. So I guess unless King Killer Kurt has something else to ask, last question will be, so what exactly are you doing with yourself now? How often are you DJing and like where? What's going on with you?
I still do the radio. You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still do the radio. I'm on BLS. Of course, you know, after they closed down 98.7 KISS FM, they brought me over to BLS, and since the beginning of this year in January, I now also do every Sunday on Hot 97. So I'm doing both of them, and I'm also spending, you know, all over the place. I do a lot of engagements during the week as well as traveling during the weekend.
Okay, you're a working man.
Yes, and loving
that
what
ain't
you
even
do.
Work, right? That ain't work for you,
loving
is
loving
it?
What you do.
No. Well, you know, there's a friend of mine named Greg Ellis, and he always teases me because I say, yo, I'm getting ready to go to work. He said, you ain't got no goddamn job. You play. You don't work. You play. Man. You play records. There ain't no damn job. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right, my brother.
All right, no doubt. We'd like to thank Red Alert for being with us on the Hip Hop Digest show. It is an honor. Amongst
absolute
honors.
Honor.
Yes, sir.
Respect, fellas.
No doubt.
Thank you.